Introduction. This lecture explores the foundations and complexities of electroencephalography, EEG, by tracing the physiological, anatomical, and functional origins of the EEG signal. We begin with a review of the neurophysiological sources of scalp potentials, including the roles of pyramidal neurons and local field potentials. From there, we examine the mechanisms by which neuronal activity gives rise to frequency and amplitude changes observed in EEG traces. We then explore how these patterns support brain function through oscillations and signal integration. The discussion expands to include dipole theory, sensitivity of EEG to dipole orientation, and the significance of EEG amplitude and frequency. Finally, we consider the role of slow cortical potentials, SCPs, their clinical relevance, and their relationship to neuroplastic processes, such as long-term potentiation, LTP, and long-term depression, LTD. By the end of this lecture, students will understand the biophysical basis of EEG signals, how these signals relate to underlying neuronal activity, and how they are employed to evaluate brain function in clinical and experimental settings. A. Basic knowledge of neurophysiology of the EEG. The electroencephalogram, EEG, measures voltage differences between scalp electrodes over time. These voltages primarily originate from large pyramidal neurons located in layers 3 and V of the cortical gray matter. Their apical dendrites extend vertically to the surface of the cortex, allowing for the summation of electrical activity detectable at the scalp. The cortex itself, typically 2 to 4.5 millimeters thick, consists of numerous cortical columns, structural units of computation. Within these columns, local and network interactions generate rhythmic electrical activity. EEG signals are regionally specific, reflecting underlying anatomical and functional distinctions. These distinctions arise from variations in synaptic input, receptor density, and local architecture. Consequently, different cortical regions produce unique EEG patterns. For example, the posterior cortex commonly generates alpha rhythms during wakeful rest with eyes closed, while frontal areas may display theta activity during focused cognitive engagement. The understanding of EEG requires appreciation of the large-scale organization of neurons, their orientation, and how extracellular fields generated by synaptic events become volume conducted to the scalp. What can the EEG tell us? EEG enables observation of dynamic brain processes, linking external stimuli to behavioral responses. It allows researchers to follow neuronal activity from perception to response, identifying abnormalities in information processing. For instance, the presence of certain waveforms in response to a sensory stimulus can indicate intact perception and processing in nonverbal individuals. Through time-locking stimuli to EEG activity, cognitive, sensory, and motor stages of processing can be isolated and evaluated. Moreover, EEG assists in evaluating attention, intention, preparation, and execution processes. Deviations from normative EEG patterns may signal clinical dysfunction in disorders such as ADHD, epilepsy, or sleep disturbances. Additionally, EEG can be used longitudinally to track the effects of interventions, monitor anesthesia depth, or determine the level of consciousness. In neurofeedback, real-time EEG analysis allows clients to learn to regulate specific brain patterns. This capacity for both diagnosis and training makes EEG an essential tool in applied neuroscience. Source of the scalp EEG. Scalp-recorded EEG reflects the summation of synchronous activity from large populations of cortical pyramidal neurons arranged perpendicularly to the cortical surface. These neurons reside in vertical columns and produce extracellular fields during excitatory and inhibitory postsynaptic potentials, EPSPs and IPSPs. Their synchronous depolarization and repolarization produce summated potentials, which are volume conducted through cerebrospinal fluid, skull, and scalp. Due to their geometric arrangement and alignment, pyramidal neurons in cortical layers 2, 3, and 5 contribute most strongly to this signal. The spatial and temporal summation of synaptic currents across thousands of such columns forms the macroscopic EEG signal. Factors influencing EEG visibility include synchrony of activity, electrode distance, and tissue conductivity. Practical implications include the realization that small localized activity may be undetectable at the scalp unless it involves a large enough population firing in synchrony. This reinforces the principle that EEG provides a macroscopic view of coordinated neural function rather than single neuron activity. It also underscores the importance of electrode placement and montage selection when interpreting EEG topography. Local field potentials. Local field potentials, LFPs, arise from the summated postsynaptic activity within a small cortical volume, typically within 250 microns of the recording site. These potentials reflect local processing, modulated by both excitatory and inhibitory activity and glial interactions. They represent the slower components of neural signaling, excluding individual action potentials. LFPs are critical in generating the EEG because they reflect the integrative activity of microcircuits. The synchronization of LFPs across adjacent columns amplifies signal detectability. Importantly, LFPs modulate neuron firing and contribute to EEG frequency and amplitude. Glial modulation of ion gradients further supports LFPs, emphasizing the dynamic interplay of neural and non-neural cells. Practically, LFPs inform invasive recordings in animal models and humans, depth electrodes, where fine-grained mapping of microcircuit activity is needed. Clinicians interpreting EEG should understand that variations in LFPs across regions account for observable shifts in amplitude or frequency across the scalp, and that these dynamics reflect real-time modulation of cortical processing. Scalp electrical potentials. Scalp potentials result from the constructive summation of electrical fields generated by cortical dipoles. These potentials are greater when large neural populations fire synchronously with aligned dipoles. In contrast, opposing fields cancel out, reducing signal magnitude. Action potentials contribute minimally to scalp EEG due to their brief duration, small spatial reach, and alignment away from the scalp. Only postsynaptic potentials in aligned pyramidal neurons generate sustained directional fields measurable at the scalp. These considerations explain why EEG recordings emphasize synaptic rather than spiking activity. EEG is therefore best understood as a reflection of coordinated synaptic integration rather than isolated neuronal output. Practically, understanding this distinction helps clinicians and researchers avoid misinterpretation of high-frequency events and supports the focus on slow-wave and rhythmic activity as primary indicators of cortical state. Furthermore, electrical artifacts such as electromyographic activity, EMG, from muscles can produce high-frequency components that are mistaken for neuronal signals unless appropriately filtered and interpreted in the context of field potential generation. Local field potentials regulate neuron excitability and firing. The local field potential serves as a timing signal, regulating when neurons are most excitable. During the depolarizing phase of the LFP, neurons are more likely to fire. During the hyperpolarizing phase, firing is suppressed. This rhythmic modulation supports phase-dependent encoding and integration of information. Neurons that are phase-aligned with the LFP can fire more efficiently, enhancing computational coherence. Slow cortical potentials, a form of LFP, represent prolonged shifts in cortical excitability and are crucial in regulating network responsiveness. These slow fluctuations provide a context for interpreting faster oscillations and reflect underlying states of arousal, attention, or readiness. Clinically, this knowledge is applied in slow cortical potential neurofeedback, where clients learn to shift their cortical excitability states toward target values associated with improved regulation. In experimental contexts, synchronization of LFPs with stimuli reveals task-related modulation of excitability and predicts behavioral responses. This property of LFPs to modulate excitability has led to new insights into mechanisms of learning, memory, and attention, as well as therapeutic strategies for conditions involving cortical dysregulation, such as epilepsy or ADHD. The composition of the EEEG. The EEEG is composed of electrical potentials that vary across two key dimensions, frequency and amplitude. Frequency refers to the number of waveform cycles per second, measured in hertz, while amplitude refers to the magnitude of voltage change, typically measured in microvolts. These parameters reflect the number and synchrony of neurons firing within a given region and time window. High amplitude suggests synchronized activity of large neuronal groups, while low amplitude may indicate desynchronization or smaller pools of active neurons. In practice, high amplitude delta or theta waves are often seen during drowsiness or sleep, while low amplitude, high frequency beta waves dominate during alert, active cognition. Clinically, abnormal frequencies or amplitudes may indicate pathology, such as epileptic spikes or generalized slowing in encephalopathy. Technically, the EEG is acquired through analog to digital conversion, where signals are sampled and digitized at specified rates and resolutions. Sampling rates must be at least twice the highest frequency of interest to avoid aliasing, and the resolution, or bit depth, determines the system's sensitivity to voltage changes. Thus, both hardware limitations and neuronal factors shape the EEG signal's ultimate form and interpretability. Sources of IPSP and EPSP inputs. In the generation of EEG, the primary contributors are excitatory postsynaptic potentials, EPSPs, and inhibitory postsynaptic potentials, IPSPs, both of which alter the membrane potential of cortical pyramidal neurons. EPSPs depolarize the membrane and increase the likelihood of action potential generation, while IPSPs hyperpolarize the membrane, decreasing excitability. These postsynaptic potentials are shaped by diverse sources of synaptic input, including thalamocortical projections, intracortical communication, subcortical neuromodulatory systems, and even sensory afferents. Oscillatory generator input, such as alpha rhythms generated in the thalamus, synchronizes large neuronal populations, contributing to the EEG's rhythmic components. Event-related inputs, often phase-locked to external stimuli, can also produce transient EEG components, particularly useful in cognitive event-related potential studies. Furthermore, cortical microcircuits integrate these inputs through feed-forward and feedback inhibition, balancing excitatory and inhibitory drives. The coordinated integration of these diverse sources determines the polarity, spatial distribution, and frequency of the resulting EEG. Practical EEG interpretation must consider the layered integration of such inputs and their dependency on behavioral state, attentional demand, and disease condition. For instance, diminished inhibitory control may underlie excessive beta activity in anxiety or epileptiform discharges in focal cortical dysregulation. EEG sources. The EEG is generated by a combination of thalamocortical and corticocortical inputs that synchronize populations of pyramidal neurons. One of the primary EEG generating structures is the thalamus, particularly the thalamic relay nuclei and the reticular nucleus, which work in concert with cortical areas to produce rhythmic oscillations. The thalamus is central in generating the alpha rhythm, especially prominent during eyes-closed wakefulness through its reciprocal connections with occipital and parietal cortices. Cortico-cortical interactions, by contrast, are often responsible for faster beta and gamma oscillations seen during active cognitive tasks. These networks form resonant loops that promote synchronous activity at specific frequencies. During states like sleep or drowsiness, the thalamus shifts its firing mode to promote slower oscillations like delta. Event-related potentials, such as the P300 and N400, reflect the influence of ascending reticular activating system inputs on thalamocortical circuits and are superimposed upon ongoing EEG activity. Practically, understanding the source of a waveform helps interpret EEG traces more accurately. Alpha attenuation on eye opening or focal theta in a specific region carries implications for both normative states and pathological conditions. Modern neurofeedback protocols often target these source-specific rhythms for operant conditioning to improve attentional or emotional regulation. Moreover, source localization algorithms, such as low-resolution electromagnetic tomography, LORETTA, attempt to estimate the cortical origin of surface-recorded EEG, enhancing both research and clinical diagnostics, dipole generators. EEG signals arise from electrical dipoles generated by cortical pyramidal neurons organized in macro columns. These neurons are structurally aligned such that their apical dendrites point toward the pile surface, while their axons extend into deeper white matter. When a population of these neurons depolarizes or hyperpolarizes in unison, the resultant separation of charges forms a dipole, a pair of equal but opposite electrical charges separated by distance. This dipole acts as a current source and sink, generating an electrical field that extends through brain tissue and is conducted to the scalp. In EEG modeling, these complex multipolar sources are often simplified as equivalent dipole generators to represent the summed activity of spatially clustered neurons. The orientation and geometry of these dipoles are critical to their detectability. Dipoles perpendicular to the cortical surface and aligned radially to the scalp are most effective in producing detectable scalp potentials. Conversely, tangential dipoles within sulci may contribute less due to their orientation and partial signal cancellation. Practically, understanding dipole generators allows clinicians to interpret lateralized or focal abnormalities, such as those seen in focal epilepsy, and informs the design of source localization algorithms in EEG inverse modeling. Moreover, in neurofeedback and brain-computer interface applications, targeting specific cortical regions assumes a working knowledge of the orientation and spatial distribution of the underlying dipole generators. This also explains why certain cortical areas, such as the midline sensorimotor strip or occipital pole, are more commonly selected for EEG-based interventions. Their geometry favors stronger and more reliable scalp signal detection. EEG signals, brainwaves. EEG signals, often called brainwaves, represent the summated voltage fluctuations between two recording electrodes over time. These oscillations reflect the synchronous rhythmic activity of large groups of neurons forming transient networks. EEG waves are classified into frequency bands that correspond to different functional brain states: delta, 1-4 hertz, theta, 4-8 hertz, alpha, 8-12 hertz, beta, 13 to 30 hertz, and gamma, greater than 30 hertz. For example, alpha rhythms typically arise during relaxed wakefulness with eyes closed, particularly in occipital regions, while beta and gamma rhythms dominate during tasks requiring focused attention and sensorimotor coordination. Each wave reflects not only the rate of activity, but also its spatial organization and the size of the contributing neuronal assemblies. Brainwave patterns can shift in response to internal states such as fatigue or arousal and external stimuli like auditory or visual inputs. The amplitude, frequency, and coherence of these brainwaves are often used as biomarkers of cognitive or emotional states. In clinical settings, abnormal brainwaves may indicate pathology. Excess theta during wakefulness is associated with inattention, and generalized spike and wave complexes suggest epilepsy. EEG signals also form the basis of neurofeedback protocols, where specific frequency bands are trained to enhance regulatory capacity. Overall, EEG oscillations serve as dynamic markers of brain function, allowing for real-time tracking of neuronal network interactions in health and disease. Sink, source, and dipole. In EEG physiology, the terms sync, source, and dipole describe how electrical fields are generated by neurons and how these fields propagate through brain tissue to reach the scalp. A sync is a site along the dendrite where positive ions, such as sodium or calcium, enter the neuron during depolarization. This influx creates a local region of negative extracellular charge. Conversely, a source is where current exits the neuron, often at a location distal from the site of ion entry, resulting in a region of positive extracellular charge. The spatial separation between the sink and source establishes an electrical gradient known as a dipole. This dipole produces a measurable electrical field that can contribute to the EEG if it is sufficiently strong and properly oriented. Pyramidal neurons are particularly well-suited to generate such dipoles because of their columnar alignment and consistent polarity across cortical layers. The extracellular dipole formed during synaptic activity varies depending on the type of synapse and the location on the dendritic tree. For example, excitatory inputs to apical dendrites generate a different dipole orientation than inhibitory inputs to basal dendrites. Practically, EEG interpreters must consider these microscopic origins when analyzing the polarity and topography of scalp potentials. Dipole analysis is also crucial in EEG source localization, as it forms the basis of inverse modeling algorithms that estimate the location of underlying neural generators. Understanding sync source dynamics further assists in differentiating true cortical signals from artifacts or volume conducted activity from deeper brain regions. The EEG is mainly sensitive to radially oriented dipoles. The EEG is primarily sensitive to dipoles oriented radially, those perpendicular to the scalp surface, due to how electrical fields propagate through tissue and reach the recording electrodes. Radially oriented dipoles, typically located in the crests of cortical gyri, project their electrical fields directly toward the scalp, resulting in stronger and more readily detectable surface potentials. In contrast, tangential dipoles, which lie along the banks of sulci, produce fields that spread laterally and often cancel out before reaching the surface, making them less visible in conventional EEG recordings. The anatomical folding of the cortex, characterized by gyri, ridges, and sulci, valleys, determines the orientation of underlying dipoles and thus influences the EEG signal's strength and spatial distribution. Consequently, brain regions with predominantly radial neuronal alignment, such as the sensorimotor strip or occipital pole, are especially amenable to EEG measurement. Clinically, this orientation sensitivity explains why some focal epileptic discharges are readily captured, while others remain invisible without intracranial recordings. It also guides the placement of EEG electrodes in montages that maximize coverage of radially aligned sources. Understanding dipole orientation is fundamental for interpreting EEG maps and topographic distributions, particularly in high-density EEG and source localization studies. For researchers and clinicians, appreciating this geometric relationship is essential when integrating EEG with other modalities, such as fMRI or MEG, which have different sensitivities to source orientation and location. EEG amplitude. EEG amplitude refers to the height of the voltage fluctuations observed in the EEG trace, typically measured in microvolts, MV. It is a direct indication of the number of neurons firing synchronously in a given area. When larger groups of neurons depolarize and repolarize in concert, the resulting postsynaptic potentials summate to generate a larger voltage difference at the scalp. Conversely, when neuronal activity is asynchronous, the resulting signals cancel each other out, reducing the observable amplitude. Amplitude can also be modulated by the physical properties of the tissues between the cortex and the electrodes, such as the thickness of the skull, the presence of cerebrospinal fluid, and scalp impedance. Different mental states and tasks modulate amplitude. For instance, alpha amplitude increases during relaxed wakefulness with eyes closed and decreases with eye opening or mental effort, a phenomenon known as alpha blocking. High-amplitude slow waves, delta and theta, can be normal during sleep, but are pathologic if seen during wakefulness, suggesting encephalopathy or brain injury. In neurofeedback, training can be designed to increase or decrease the amplitude of specific frequency bands to help regulate emotional and cognitive states. From a technical perspective, accurate amplitude measurement depends on the quality of electrode contact, low impedance, and high signal-to-noise ratio. Proper electrode preparation and artifact rejection are thus essential in ensuring that observed amplitude changes reflect true cortical dynamics rather than extraneous noise or muscle activity. EEG frequencies. EEG frequencies are defined by the number of waveform cycles occurring per second, measured in hertz, and are classified into standard bands, delta, 1-4 hertz, theta, 4 or 8 hertz, alpha, 8 to 12 hertz, beta, 13 to 30 hertz, and gamma, greater than 30 hertz. Each band is associated with specific behavioral and cognitive states. Delta waves are prominent during deep sleep. Theta often appears during light sleep, meditative states, or in young children. Alpha is observed during quiet wakefulness. Beta dominates during active thinking and motor activity. And gamma is linked to higher-order cognitive functions, such as perception and consciousness. The identification and interpretation of these frequency bands allow clinicians and researchers to infer the underlying neurophysiological state. For example, excess theta during wakefulness may be seen in attention disorders, while frontal beta asymmetry may correlate with mood dysregulation. In practice, digital signal processing techniques such as fast Fourier transform, FFT, are applied to break down the raw EEG into these component frequencies. These bands may also be filtered using digital bandpass filters to isolate specific rhythms for analysis or neurofeedback training. Frequency-specific training protocols aim to enhance desired states, such as increasing alpha for relaxation or decreasing theta for improved focus. Additionally, transitions between frequencies, such as from alpha to beta when eyes open, serve as biomarkers of cortical reactivity. Understanding these frequencies is essential for both diagnostic and therapeutic applications of EEG across clinical and research domains. EEG oscillations. EEG oscillations are rhythmic patterns of neural activity that emerge from the synchronized firing of neuronal populations. These oscillations are categorized by their frequency and are foundational to the temporal coordination of brain function. Oscillations reflect the dynamic interplay of excitatory and inhibitory postsynaptic potentials, modulated by intrinsic neuronal membrane properties and network-level interactions. For instance, slow oscillations such as delta and theta are commonly associated with large-scale cortical synchrony and are partly generated by corticothalamic loops. Faster oscillations, such as beta and gamma, often result from localized cortical circuits involving inhibitory interneurons and are crucial for sensory binding, attention, and working memory. Oscillatory behavior can emerge spontaneously or be evoked by stimuli and tasks, allowing the brain to segment processing into temporal frames. The amplitude, frequency, and phase of oscillations are modifiable by cognitive states, emotional arousal, and external inputs, making them important indicators of brain state and function. In applied neuroscience, entrainment techniques such as rhythmic auditory or visual stimulation are used to modulate specific oscillatory bands. Neurofeedback training protocols also reinforce beneficial oscillatory patterns, such as enhancing sensory motor rhythm, SMR, or suppressing excess beta activity. Overall, EEG oscillations serve as the electrophysiological basis for temporal coding and large-scale neural communication and are central to understanding normal cognition and pathological conditions. Circuits contributing to the EEG. The generation of EEG signals depends on the coordinated activity of several major neural circuits that operate across different spatial and temporal scales. Three key contributors include feed-forward circuits, thalamocortical loops, and intracortical networks. Feed-forward circuits involve sequential synaptic transmission from lower to higher order processing areas, facilitating hierarchical sensory integration. For example, visual input follows a pathway from the retina to the lateral geniculate nucleus of the thalamus and onward to the primary visual cortex. Thalamocortical loops, by contrast, support bidirectional communication between the cortex and thalamus and are particularly critical in producing oscillations such as alpha and sleep spindles. These loops synchronize cortical neurons, contributing to generating large-scale rhythmic activity observable in EEG recordings. Intracortical networks, which include excitatory pyramidal neurons and inhibitory interneurons, are essential for generating faster oscillations such as beta and gamma. These local microcircuits regulate information flow within cortical columns and support functions like attention modulation and perceptual binding. The dynamic balance between excitation and inhibition within these networks is vital for maintaining healthy brain rhythms. In pathological conditions such as epilepsy, this balance is disrupted, leading to hypersynchronous discharges that manifest as spikes or seizures in the EEG. Understanding the role of these circuits is also critical for designing targeted neurofeedback or neuromodulation interventions, as different protocols may aim to modulate specific oscillatory features generated by distinct circuit mechanisms. Spindling or bursting activity. Spindling or sleep spindle activity refers to brief bursts of oscillatory brain activity within the 11 to 16 Hz frequency range, typically observed during stage 2 non-REM sleep. These waveforms have a distinct waxing and waning amplitude envelope and last between 0.5 and 2 seconds. They are primarily generated by interactions between inhibitory neurons in the thalamic reticular nucleus and thalamocortical relay cells. The thalamus initiates rhythmic inhibition that entrains the cortical networks, leading to synchronized cortical oscillations recorded as spindles. Spindling serves several physiological functions, including memory consolidation, synaptic plasticity, and the gating of external sensory input to prevent arousal. In pathological states, alterations in spindle density or morphology can indicate neurodevelopmental or neurodegenerative conditions, such as schizophrenia, autism, or Alzheimer's disease. Beyond sleep, similar burst patterns may be observed during cortical hyperexcitability in epilepsy, where bursts of beta or gamma frequency activity can precede or accompany seizures. Spindling is also studied as a marker of thalamocortical integrity and has been shown to correlate with cognitive performance, particularly in memory and learning tasks. Understanding spindling mechanisms provides valuable insight into how cortical rhythms are coordinated and how their disruption may underlie cognitive and behavioral disorders. In neurofeedback, some emerging protocols target spindle enhancement as a means of promoting sleep quality or memory performance. The purpose of oscillatory activity. Oscillatory activity serves a vital purpose in organizing the timing of neural processing across both local and distributed brain networks. By providing rhythmic windows for excitation and inhibition, oscillations facilitate the temporal coordination of neuronal firing, thus enhancing the efficiency of synaptic communication. This temporal scaffolding ensures that neurons activated within the same oscillatory phase are more likely to transmit information effectively to their targets. For example, during attention tasks, specific oscillatory frequencies, such as alpha or beta, can gate input by selectively enhancing or suppressing sensory channels. Oscillations also allow the brain to bind disparate sensory inputs like visual and auditory stimuli into coherent perceptual experiences through phase synchrony. In motor control, beta desynchronization and gamma synchronization play complementary roles in initiating and refining movement. The precise timing enabled by oscillatory entrainment is crucial not only for cognition, but also for long-range neural integration, supporting higher-order functions such as language comprehension and problem-solving. Importantly, oscillations are flexible. They adapt their frequency, amplitude, and phase relationships in response to environmental demands and internal goals. Disruptions in oscillatory timing, such as reduced gamma coherence in schizophrenia or elevated delta power in coma, reflect functional disorganization and are used diagnostically. In therapeutic contexts, interventions such as rhythmic stimulation and neurofeedback aim to restore or enhance adaptive oscillatory dynamics. Thus, oscillations are not mere epiphenomena, but integral elements of how the brain organizes and executes complex behavior. Hierarchical processing. Hierarchical processing refers to the organization of neural activity in nested time and spatial scales that mirror the structure of cognitive operations. The brain processes information in sequential and parallel steps, with lower-order sensory inputs being rapidly integrated and interpreted by higher-order association areas. Each level of this hierarchy operates on a distinct temporal scale. Fast oscillations like gamma support, moment-to-moment signal binding, while slower rhythms like theta and delta modulate more extended integrative tasks, such as memory consolidation or effective evaluation. EEEG captures this multi-scale architecture by revealing how nested rhythms interact. Slower oscillations modulate the amplitude or phase of faster ones, a phenomenon known as cross-frequency coupling. This coupling allows local computations to be coordinated with global brain states. For example, hippocampal theta phase can organize the timing of cortical gamma bursts during memory retrieval. Similarly, cortical alpha oscillations can phase lock to slower delta rhythms during sleep to support plasticity. These patterns demonstrate how the brain partitions and aligns its computational resources in accordance with task demands. Disruption of hierarchical processing is implicated in various neuropsychiatric disorders. In schizophrenia, abnormal theta-gamma coupling has been linked to cognitive disorganization, while in ADHD, impaired theta-beta balance affects attention control. Clinically, understanding this framework provides a rationale for targeting specific frequency interactions through neuromodulatory approaches, such as transcranial alternating current stimulation, TACS, or advanced neurofeedback paradigms. EEG thus not only indexes cortical activity, but also reveals the structured temporal architecture underlying perception, thought, and action. Multiple oscillators. The human brain operates through a spectrum of overlapping oscillatory systems, each with its own intrinsic frequency and anatomical substrates. These multiple oscillators interact continuously, reflecting the brain's need to integrate local processing with large-scale coordination. Each frequency band serves a different computational role and is often associated with distinct structural generators. For example, slow delta waves emerge from widespread cortical thalamic networks, while gamma oscillations are typically generated by fast-spiking interneurons within cortical microcircuits. These oscillatory classes display a hierarchical nesting across a logarithmic scale, where slower rhythms modulate the amplitude or phase of faster ones. This arrangement allows the brain to maintain temporal coherence across distributed areas and to adjust processing based on task complexity, environmental stimuli, or internal goals. Oscillatory diversity also supports functional specialization, with theta linked to working memory, alpha to inhibition and cortical idling, beta to sensory-motor integration, and gamma to high-level perception and consciousness. In practice, this understanding informs advanced EEG applications like cross-frequency coupling analysis and source-specific neurofeedback training. It also supports interpreting composite patterns, such as spindles or nested waveforms, in sleep and attention studies. Clinically, abnormalities in specific oscillator systems may manifest in psychiatric or neurological conditions. For example, disrupted beta activity in Parkinson's disease or reduced gamma synchrony in schizophrenia. Thus, the presence of multiple oscillators is not only a feature of EEG complexity, but also a window into the dynamic architecture of brain function and dysfunction. Frequency determines complexity. The frequency of an EEG oscillation directly impacts the scope and complexity of neural processing it can support. Slower frequencies, such as delta and theta, have longer wavelengths and therefore offer larger temporal integration windows. This extended duration allows more distant and widespread neuronal populations to participate in coordinated activity, making slow waves ideal for global processing tasks like emotional regulation, memory consolidation, and states of consciousness. In contrast, faster frequencies like beta and gamma have shorter wavelengths and operate within narrower time windows. These are suited for local processing demands, including sensory discrimination, motor execution, and attention. The higher temporal resolution of fast frequencies enables precise encoding and synchronization of information across short neural circuits. Moreover, EEG studies demonstrate that tasks requiring higher cognitive load or fine motor control often induce a shift toward higher frequency activity. Training to enhance specific frequency bands is based on their associated functional roles in neurofeedback and brain-computer interface applications. For instance, increasing theta may support meditative states, while enhancing beta may improve cognitive engagement. Clinically, altered frequency distributions provide diagnostic insight. Increased delta in awake adults may indicate diffuse cortical dysfunction, while elevated beta during rest could signal anxiety or stimulant effects. Frequency thus not only dictates how the brain handles complexity, but also serves as a biomarker for functional integrity across cognitive and physiological domains. Local versus global decision-making. The spatial and temporal characteristics of EEG oscillations reflect the distinction between local and global decision-making in the brain. Fast oscillations beta and gamma enable rapid local processing by synchronizing activity within tightly coupled neural ensembles. These rhythms are ideally suited for managing high-resolution tasks such as motor control, sensory discrimination, and short-term memory encoding. Because axonal conduction delays limit how quickly distant regions can communicate, fast frequencies dominate circuits requiring immediacy and precision. In contrast, slower oscillations, delta, theta, and alpha facilitate information integration over longer distances and timescales, supporting more complex and distributed processes such as narrative comprehension, emotional appraisal, and long-term memory retrieval. These global oscillations coordinate the flow of information between widely separated brain regions by creating shared temporal reference frames. In practical terms, this division helps explain EEG topographies during different states. For example, frontal midline theta appears during concentrated effort, while alpha waves span posterior cortices during visual disengagement. Neurofeedback protocols may target local oscillations to improve focus or motor control, and global oscillations to promote calm or emotional regulation. Pathological conditions often disrupt this balance, excessive local synchronization in epilepsy or insufficient global coherence in autism spectrum disorders. Understanding how different frequency bands support decision-making at various scales enhances both theoretical models of cognition and the design of EEG-based interventions. Complexity versus frequency. The complexity of neural processing is closely tied to the frequency of EEG activity. Slower frequencies, such as delta, 1/4 Hz, and theta, 4/8 Hz, are associated with higher-order integrative functions because they allow longer temporal windows for neural interaction, facilitating the coordination of large and spatially distributed networks. These rhythms are prevalent during sleep, meditation, and states of reduced sensory input, where long-range communication and consolidation processes dominate. Conversely, higher frequencies like beta, 13 to 30 Hz, and MEMA, greater than 30 Hz, reflect faster localized processing that supports functions requiring temporal precision, such as sensorimotor control, decision-making, and real-time perceptual integration. Tasks of varying complexity elicit different frequency profiles. For example, solving a complex mathematical problem may engage both theta for integrative reasoning and beta for sustained cognitive control. In contrast, simple motor tasks might primarily elevate beta or gamma. Functional neuroimaging and EEG studies show that as task difficulty increases, there is a progressive recruitment of slower oscillations for context and abstraction, combined with faster oscillations for specific computation and response execution. This relationship enables clinicians and researchers to assess cognitive load and task performance through spectral analysis. Additionally, complexity frequency dynamics are leveraged in neurofeedback, where training across specific bands can be adapted to match the cognitive demands of a client's daily life. Overall, EEG frequency serves as a lens for parsing the layered complexity of brain operations, from basic sensorimotor functions to abstract reasoning and emotional regulation. Traveling waves help coordinate widespread brain networks. Traveling waves are low-frequency oscillatory patterns that propagate across the cortex in a spatially coherent manner, allowing different brain regions to coordinate activity over time and space. These waves typically occur in the delta, theta, and alpha frequency bands and move at velocities ranging from 0.1 to 1 meter per second. Unlike standing waves that oscillate in place, traveling waves exhibit a directional flow that links distant cortical areas in a continuous sequence. This phenomenon provides a temporal framework for information to be integrated across functional networks, such as during sensorimotor planning, visual attention, or memory retrieval. For instance, alpha band traveling waves are known to move anteriorly or posteriorly depending on attentional focus and cognitive demands, thereby facilitating or suppressing specific regions in line with task goals. Traveling waves are also implicated in top-down predictive coding, where higher-order regions transmit expectations to lower-order sensory cortices to shape perception. Disruptions in wave coherence or directionality have been linked to neurological disorders, including schizophrenia and Alzheimer's disease, where long-range integration is impaired. In applied contexts, methods such as high-density EEG or electrocorticography are used to map traveling waves and assess their role in brain connectivity and function. These waves are emerging as key features in the study of consciousness and may explain how large-scale neural coordination underlies the continuity of experience. Understanding traveling waves enriches the interpretation of EEG patterns, linking oscillatory activity not just to local events, but to the dynamic orchestration of entire brain networks. Summary of EEG oscillations. EEG oscillations represent the coordinated rhythmic activity of neuronal populations and are the fundamental building blocks of EEG signal interpretation. Each frequency band from delta to gamma reflects different functional states and neural computations, creating a rich temporal code that enables dynamic interaction between brain regions. Delta waves dominate in deep sleep and support restorative processes. Theta waves are involved in memory, navigation, and meditative states. Alpha oscillations signal cortical idling or inhibition and are modulated by attention. Beta activity supports sensorimotor control and executive function. Gamma oscillations enable feature binding and high-level perception. These bands do not act in isolation, but are often nested within each other, forming cross-frequency couplings that coordinate local and global processing. For example, the amplitude of gamma activity may be modulated by the phase of theta or alpha waves, a mechanism that aligns faster computations with broader contextual frameworks. EEG topography shows that these oscillations have preferred spatial distributions, with alpha prominent in posterior regions, beta over sensorimotor cortex, and theta along midline frontal structures. In clinical practice, abnormalities in oscillatory power, frequency, or coherence provide insights into disorders ranging from epilepsy and ADHD to dementia and depression. EEG oscillations are also central to therapeutic interventions, such as neurofeedback, where individuals learn to self-modulate specific rhythms to achieve desired cognitive or emotional outcomes. Thus, understanding EEG oscillations provides a comprehensive view of brain function, enabling clinicians and researchers to assess neural health, monitor treatment efficacy, and explore the underpinnings of consciousness, cognition, and behavior. Definition of ERPs and SCP: event-related potentials, ERPs, and slow cortical potentials, SCPs, are distinct but complementary components of EEG that provide insight into time-locked brain responses to stimuli and long-term changes in cortical excitability, respectively. ERPs are transient voltage fluctuations elicited by specific sensory, cognitive, or motor events, and typically consist of a series of positive and negative deflections, such as the P300 or N400, that occur within milliseconds to a second after a stimulus. These waveforms are extracted by averaging EEG epochs that are time-locked to repeated stimuli, thereby isolating task-related brain responses from background EEG noise. ERPs provide valuable markers for assessing sensory processing, attention allocation, decision-making, and language comprehension. For example, the P300 is associated with stimulus evaluation and attentional resource allocation, while the N400 reflects semantic incongruity in language tasks. In contrast, SCPs are very slow voltage shifts in the EEG baseline, often lasting from several hundred milliseconds to several seconds. These shifts reflect longer-term changes in cortical excitability and are linked to motivational, preparatory, or attentional states. Negative SCPs typically indicate increased cortical excitability and readiness to respond, whereas positive SCPs are associated with reduced excitability and inhibition. SCPs are not phase-locked like ERPs and are instead measured as absolute changes in potential over time. They are particularly relevant in neurofeedback and brain-computer interface research, where individuals can learn to self-regulate these potentials to enhance performance or reduce symptoms in clinical conditions such as ADHD, epilepsy, and Parkinson's disease. Together, ERPs and SCPs enrich our understanding of both phasic and tonic brain responses. A deep dive into SCPs. Slow cortical potentials, SCPs, are gradual voltage shifts in the EEG that typically last from 300 milliseconds to several seconds. Unlike faster oscillations that reflect transient synchronization among small networks, SCPs represent enduring changes in the excitability of cortical tissue and are often linked to motivational, attentional, or preparatory brain states. Historically, the first hints of SCPs were observed by Richard Catan in the late 19th century, and subsequent research by Hans Berger and others highlighted their potential as indices of underlying cortical function. Technological improvements in DC-coupled amplifiers have made it possible to accurately record these slow potentials without attenuation, helping to distinguish them from traditional AC-coupled EEG signals. Functionally, SCPs arise from the coordinated activity of large populations of pyramidal neurons, particularly involving their apical dendrites. Negative shifts in SCPs correspond to depolarization and increased cortical excitability, enhancing the likelihood of neuronal firing, while positive shifts reflect hyperpolarization and reduced excitability. SCPs are not stimulus-locked and therefore provide a continuous, context-sensitive index of brain readiness or inhibition. They are modulated by a range of factors, including sensory input, cognitive demand, emotional state, and voluntary effort. Neurophysiological studies suggest that SCPs are generated not only by synaptic activity, but also by non-neuronal elements, such as glial cell dynamics and ion shifts in the extracellular space. From a clinical standpoint, SCPs have been used as biomarkers for a variety of neurological and psychiatric disorders. In ADHD, patients often show a reduced ability to generate negative SCPs, a feature that has been targeted in neurofeedback protocols with moderate success. Technological advances have facilitated the integration of SCPs into brain-computer interface, BCI systems, where users learn to modulate their brain activity to control external devices. SCP BCI systems have enabled communication in patients with severe motor impairments and have shown promise in supporting neurorehabilitation. These systems typically involve training users to generate specific SCP shifts through operant conditioning with real-time feedback. The training protocols often alternate trials for negative and positive shifts, assessing volitional control and refining the user's ability to self-regulate cortical excitability. Successful implementation depends on the recording system's quality and the feedback algorithm's adaptability. In sum, SCPs offer a window into the global regulation of cortical networks and their readiness for information processing. They bridge the gap between fast transient EEG activity and longer duration changes in cortical tone. Their measurement and training have practical implications not only for basic neuroscience, but also for clinical interventions aimed at restoring or enhancing cognitive and emotional regulation. As our understanding of the neurobiological substrates of SCPs deepens, so too does their potential for shaping individualized treatment protocols in psychiatry, neurology, and neurotechnology. Slow cortical potential generators. The generation of slow cortical potentials, SCPs, involves a combination of neuronal and non-neuronal mechanisms distributed across cortical and subcortical structures. Pyramidal neurons, particularly those in cortical layers 2 through VI, play a central role in generating these slow voltage shifts through the synchronized summation of postsynaptic potentials. These neurons are oriented perpendicularly to the cortical surface, and their apiecal dendrites contribute substantially to the extracellular dipole fields measurable as SCPs. A negative SCP is observed when a large population of these neurons depolarizes synchronously, indicating increased cortical excitability. Conversely, synchronized hyperpolarization results in a positive SCP, reflecting decreased excitability. In addition to neuronal sources, glial cells, especially astrocytes, have been implicated in the generation and modulation of SCPs. Astrocytes regulate extracellular ion concentrations, particularly potassium and bicarbonate, which influence local field potentials and modulate neuronal firing thresholds. These glial contributions are particularly important in sustained cortical activity and in conditions where neuronal glial interactions are heightened, such as during recovery from injury or in neurodegenerative disease. Recent research suggests that glial slow oscillations may contribute to the overall SCP signal, especially during sleep or prolonged cognitive engagement. The thalamus and associated reticular structures are also involved in SCP generation, primarily through their role in cortical synchronization. Although SCPs can persist even after thalamic damage, suggesting a cortical origin, thalamocortical projections modulate the timing and amplitude of SCPs during attention, sleep, and arousal transitions. In particular, the reticular nucleus of the thalamus and the ascending reticular activating system, ARAS, contribute to setting the excitability tone of large cortical regions, indirectly influencing SCP polarity and dynamics. In experimental settings, SCPs have been elicited in animal models and human subjects using cognitive, sensory, or motor tasks that engage sustained attention or intention. These paradigms often reveal spatially specific SCPs, with frontal negative shifts preceding motor responses and posterior shifts associated with visual attention. Functional imaging studies using simultaneous EEG fMRI recordings have shown that SCPs correlate with changes in blood oxygenation and metabolic demand, reinforcing their link to functional brain states. The heterogeneity of SCP generators underscores their utility as biomarkers for diverse brain functions. Their widespread generation sites and sensitivity to both neural and glial activity make them valuable indicators of global brain states, complementing faster EEG rhythms that reflect localized processing. By examining SCPs across multiple cortical areas, clinicians and researchers gain insight into baseline excitability, regional specialization, and system-wide regulation of brain function. In summary, SCP generators comprise a distributed network involving pyramidal neurons, glial cells, and thalamocortical circuits. These sources work in concert to reflect sustained shifts in excitability and readiness, making SCEs a unique and essential signal in the EEG landscape. Cortical neurons. Cortical neurons, particularly pyramidal cells, are the primary contributors to the generation of the EEG, including slow cortical potentials, SCPs. These excitatory projection neurons are found in cortical layers 2 through VX and are distinguished by their triangular soma, a single, long apical dendrite extending toward the cortical surface and multiple basal dendrites. The aligned orientation of their apical dendrites makes them well-suited for producing extracellular dipole fields detectable by scalp electrodes. When large populations of pyramidal neurons fire in synchrony, especially during postsynaptic depolarization, they generate the negative shifts seen in SCP recordings. The spatial summation of excitatory postsynaptic potentials, EPSPs, in these neurons contributes significantly to both fast and slow EEG components. Beyond their structural characteristics, pyramidal neurons play a critical functional role in generating EEG rhythms. Their excitability is modulated by local interneurons, thalamic inputs, and neuromodulatory systems, all of which shape the amplitude and timing of EEG activity. For SPs, it is the slow modulation of membrane potential, particularly the sustained depolarization or hyperpolarization of apical dendrites, that underlies the prolonged shifts in cortical voltage. This mechanism supports the role of SCPs as markers of readiness, attention, and cortical arousal. Additionally, pyramidal neurons exhibit voltage-gated ion channels and receptor subtypes contributing to their oscillatory behavior, further linking them to rhythmic EEG phenomena. In pathological conditions, pyramidal cell dysfunction can disrupt the generation and regulation of SCPs. For example, cortical hyperexcitability in epilepsy may reflect aberrant pyramidal synchronization, while cortical hypoactivity in depression or ADHD may correspond to impaired depolarization. These associations form the basis for using SCP neurofeedback to train individuals to self-regulate their cortical activity by indirectly targeting pyramidal cell excitability. Techniques such as transcranial magnetic stimulation, TMS, and transcranial direct current stimulation, TDCS, also modulate pyramidal neuron activity and have been explored as adjuncts to EEG-based interventions. Animal models have provided further insights into the properties of pyramidal neurons and their role in SCP generation. Intracellular recordings have demonstrated that voluntary behaviors, sustained attention or anticipation of stimuli, are accompanied by membrane potential shifts in pyramidal cells consistent with SCP patterns observed at the scalp level. These findings validate using SCPs as markers of intentional and motivational states in humans. Moreover, optogenetic techniques have enabled precise manipulation of pyramidal cell activity, allowing researchers to link these neurons to SCP dynamics causally. Overall, cortical pyramidal neurons are the anatomical and physiological substrates of most EEG signals and serve as functional indicators of cortical processing capacity. Their role in generating SCPs positions them at the center of brain-computer interface design, neurofeedback training, and diagnostic EEG interpretation. Understanding their behavior helps translate EEG findings into meaningful neurophysiological and clinical insights, reinforcing their centrality in basic neuroscience and applied neurotechnological approaches. Thalamocortical interactions. Thalamocortical interactions form one of the foundational mechanisms by which the brain regulates cortical excitability and coordinates large-scale neural oscillations, including those associated with SCPs. The thalamus acts as a central relay hub that transmits sensory and motor signals to the cortex while also participating in reciprocal loops that modulate cortical function. Thalamocortical relay neurons project diffusely to the cortex and receive feedback from corticothalamic fibers originating in layer CX of the cortex. This bidirectional communication supports a dynamic feedback system that regulates the timing, amplitude, and synchronization of cortical activity. In the context of SCPs, the thalamus plays an important modulatory rather than generative role. While SCPs can persist following thalamic lesions, suggesting a cortical origin, thalamocortical interactions influence their amplitude and distribution, particularly during sleep-wake transitions, attention modulation, and behavioral preparation. The reticular nucleus of the thalamus, which exerts inhibitory control over thalamocortical relay neurons, contributes to rhythmic burst firing that can entrain cortical networks and influence SCP polarity. The ascending reticular activating system, ARAS, which projects to both the thalamus and cortex, sets the tone for global cortical excitability and plays a critical role in regulating vigilance and arousal, thus modulating SCPs indirectly. Oscillatory dynamics within thalamocortical circuits are also implicated in faster EEG rhythms, such as alpha and sleep spindles, which frequently co-occur with SCPs. The nested interaction between these faster oscillations and SCPs exemplifies how hierarchical processing in the brain is orchestrated across multiple timescales. During cognitive tasks, thalamocortical circuits can synchronize specific cortical areas by amplifying task-relevant SCP components, aiding attentional focus and behavioral readiness. These coordinated activities provide a temporal scaffold supporting phase-locked ERP and slow SCP activity. Abnormal thalamocortical coupling has been associated with a range of neuropsychiatric conditions. For instance, reduced thalamocortical coherence is observed in schizophrenia and is linked to cognitive fragmentation. Excessive thalamic bursting is implicated in absent seizures, characterized by generalized spike and wave discharges in the EEG. These pathologies underscore the importance of intact thalamocortical interaction in maintaining the balance between excitation and inhibition necessary for normal SCP generation and modulation. Advanced neuroimaging techniques have confirmed the importance of these interactions. Simultaneous EEG-fMRI studies show that SCP amplitude variations correlate with blood oxygen level-dependent BOLD signals in thalamic and cortical areas, demonstrating the global impact of thalamocortical synchronization. These findings support using SCEPs as biomarkers for thalamocortical integrity and inform the development of neuromodulatory interventions to restore normal thalamocortical function. In conclusion, thalamocortical interactions are essential modulators of SCP dynamics and overall cortical function. Their influence extends across multiple frequencies and brain states, contributing to attention, arousal, sensory processing, and cognitive control. A thorough understanding of these interactions enhances the interpretation of EEG patterns and informs clinical applications ranging from epilepsy management to neurofeedback therapy. Glial cells. Glial cells, particularly astrocytes, play a crucial and increasingly recognized role in shaping slow cortical potentials, SCPs, and modulating overall cortical excitability. Unlike neurons, glial cells do not generate action potentials, but they are deeply involved in maintaining ionic balance, neurotransmitter recycling, and modulating synaptic transmission through complex signaling pathways. Astrocytes, the most abundant type of glia in the brain, surround synapses and contribute to the tripartite synapse by interacting with both pre- and postsynaptic neurons. Through the release and uptake of ions such as potassium and bicarbonate, and neurotransmitters like glutamate and GABA, astrocytes influence local field potentials and shape the extracellular environment in ways that affect the magnitude and polarity of SCPs. During sustained neuronal activity, extracellular potassium levels rise, leading to astrocyte depolarization. This depolarization causes ionic currents, contributing to the slow electrical gradients measurable as SCPs. Furthermore, astrocytes are connected through gap junctions that enable them to propagate calcium waves and electrical signals across large brain regions. These properties allow glial networks to regulate spatially distributed aspects of cortical excitability and provide a non-neuronal basis for global slow potential shifts. Glial networks may also help to synchronize or desynchronize neuronal activity, thereby acting as a buffer or amplifier for oscillatory dynamics depending on context. Emerging research shows that astrocytes express receptors for neuromodulators, such as dopamine, norepinephrine, and acetylcholine, enabling them to participate in broader regulatory systems that influence arousal, attention, and learning. These systems, in turn, affect SCP generation by altering the baseline excitability of neural tissue. The involvement of glia in neuromodulation suggests that SCPs are not only products of neuronal activity, but also reflect integrative signaling across cell types and regulatory systems. Glial dysfunction can lead to abnormal SCPs and impaired cortical self-regulation in pathological conditions. For example, reactive gliosis seen in trauma, epilepsy, and neurodegenerative disorders can alter glial buffering capacity and ion homeostasis, thereby disrupting normal SCP generation. Additionally, disruptions in glial calcium signaling have been linked to impaired network synchronization and reduced neuroplastic potential, which may underlie some of the cognitive and affective symptoms seen in clinical populations. Technological advances, such as genetically encoded calcium indicators and optogenetic tools, have allowed researchers to study glial contributions to SCPs with unprecedented precision. These tools have demonstrated that astrocytes can be causally linked to slow EEG phenomena, and that their manipulation can modulate behavioral outcomes in animal models. This knowledge opens new therapeutic avenues, such as glia-targeted pharmacological treatments or neuromodulation strategies designed to optimize glial function. In conclusion, glial cells are essential contributors to the generation, modulation, and propagation of slow cortical potentials. Their involvement reflects a broader, more integrative model of brain function in which non-neuronal elements play active roles in shaping cortical excitability and EEG dynamics. Understanding glial contributions enriches our interpretation of SCPs and supports the development of novel clinical interventions targeting both neuronal and glial pathways. The meaning of SCP-EEG activity. SCP-EEG activity represents the dynamic regulation of cortical excitability and reflects the brain's capacity to prepare for, engage in, or inhibit responses. A negative SCP shift typically indicates a depolarization of cortical pyramidal neurons, increasing their likelihood of firing and signaling heightened readiness, intention, or cognitive engagement. This negative polarity is often observed preceding voluntary movement or during tasks that require sustained attention. In contrast, a positive SCP shift is associated with hyperpolarization and reduced excitability, often signaling cortical inhibition, reduced effort, or disengagement. These shifts provide a window into the tonic state of cortical networks over periods ranging from seconds to minutes, complementing the phasic, rapid dynamics captured by event-related potentials. From an electrophysiological standpoint, negative SCPs arise when positive ions enter apical dendrites, creating extracellular negativity, while positive SCPs reflect either outward current or a reduction in inward current. These potential shifts are volume conducted through brain tissue, cerebrospinal fluid, skull, and scalp to the EEG electrodes. Because of how electrical fields propagate, this results in the counterintuitive but well-established finding that surface negative potentials correspond to increased internal neural activity, a phenomenon often termed paradoxical negativity. Conversely, surface positive shifts occur during decreased cortical activity or inhibitory states. SCPs are context-sensitive and vary according to task demands, affective states, and individual traits. For example, individuals with greater motivation and attentional focus tend to show stronger and more sustained negative SCPs during cognitive tasks. In clinical populations, deviations from expected SCP patterns can indicate functional deficits or compensatory mechanisms. Children with ADHD, for instance, often display weaker negative SCPs, reflecting reduced ability to activate cortical networks associated with response preparation. In epilepsy, training patients to increase positive SCP shifts has been shown to stabilize cortical excitability and reduce seizure frequency. Beyond behavioral correlates, SCPs are increasingly considered physiological indicators of global brain state. They help distinguish between passive and active task conditions, assess levels of alertness and drowsiness, and provide insight into the engagement of attentional and motor systems. Their slow time course makes them particularly well-suited for integrating information across time, enabling researchers to assess preparatory or anticipatory states in a way that faster EEG components cannot. SCPs also show reliable modulation by learning and conditioning, further supporting their relevance in therapeutic applications such as neurofeedback. Overall, the meaning of SCP EEG activity lies in its capacity to index ongoing shifts in cortical readiness and inhibition. These shifts are driven by changes in ionic gradients, synaptic input, and neuromodulatory tone, integrating physiological and psychological factors into a single, slow-moving potential. The interpretation of SCPs requires attention to both their amplitude and polarity, as well as their spatial distribution and timing relative to task demands. They are essential for understanding how the brain organizes behavior in time and serve as a bridge between basic electrophysiological mechanisms and applied neuropsychological outcomes. Psychological and medical disorders. SCP abnormalities have been identified in a variety of psychological and neurological conditions, reflecting underlying disruptions in cortical excitability and regulation. In attention deficit / hyperactivity disorder, ADHD, individuals often exhibit diminished capacity to generate negative SCP shifts, indicating impaired cortical activation during tasks requiring preparation, focus, or inhibition. SCP neurofeedback has emerged as a promising intervention in this population, aiming to enhance the ability to voluntarily increase negative shifts and thereby improve attentional control and behavioral regulation. In epilepsy, SCPs have been explored as a mechanism for seizure prediction and intervention. Positive SCP shifts associated with increased cortical inhibition are targeted in neurofeedback training to reduce seizure frequency and stabilize excitability thresholds. This approach offers a non-pharmacological method of managing epilepsy, with evidence suggesting improved seizure control in some individuals who achieve volitional control over their SCP dynamics. Patients with Parkinson's disease, PD, show altered SCP patterns during both rest and motor tasks. These alterations often include reduced amplitude and delayed onset of SCP components preceding voluntary movement, consistent with the motor initiation deficits characteristic of PD. SCP training protocols for PD have been investigated as a means of improving motor planning and execution, and some early studies suggest benefits in both motor and non-motor symptoms, such as mood and executive function. SCP anomalies have also been documented in depression, where reduced amplitude and abnormal polarity may reflect deficits in cortical arousal and motivational engagement. Neurofeedback aimed at normalizing SCP patterns in individuals with depression has shown potential to enhance effective regulation and reduce symptom severity, particularly when integrated with broader therapeutic strategies. SCPs may also serve as biomarkers for treatment responsiveness or relapse risk in mood disorders. Sleep disorders provide another clinical domain where SCPs play a diagnostic and interventional role. SCPs are involved in sleep onset and maintenance and are thought to reflect transitions in arousal states. In individuals with insomnia, altered SCP dynamics may indicate difficulty disengaging from wake-related cortical activity. SCP training may aid in down-regulating cortical excitability, supporting more stable transitions to sleep and improved sleep architecture. Overall, SEPs are sensitive markers of altered brain function across a range of psychological and medical disorders. They offer insight into pathophysiological mechanisms, serve as targets for biofeedback-based interventions, and provide measurable indices of brain regulation in clinical and therapeutic settings. Their broad applicability highlights the value of SCP measurement in both diagnostic evaluation and individualized treatment planning. Training SCPs. Training slow cortical potentials, CPs, involves operant conditioning paradigms designed to help individuals voluntarily regulate their cortical excitability. The most established method employs neurofeedback systems that provide real-time visual or auditory representations of SCP polarity and amplitude, enabling participants to learn to generate targeted shifts. Typically, training protocols include alternating blocks where the participant is cued to either increase cortical negativity, depolarization, or positivity, hyperpolarization, depending on therapeutic goals. For example, increasing negative SCP shifts is often used to enhance attention and arousal, whereas promoting positive shifts may be used to reduce cortical excitability, as in epilepsy treatment. The training process usually spans multiple sessions, each consisting of numerous trials lasting several seconds. Trials include feedback and transfer periods. During feedback, participants receive continuous information about their brain activity. During transfer, they attempt to self-regulate without feedback to demonstrate learned control. Over time, these training paradigms promote neural plasticity by reinforcing the neural pathways associated with desired cortical states. Feedback can be presented in various modalities, such as moving visual elements on a screen, changing tones, or interactive games, each tailored to enhance user engagement and learning efficiency. Clinical protocols for SCP training are highly individualized. Baseline EEG assessments guide identifying target sites, CZ for motor control, FZ for attention, and parameters such as threshold levels, feedback latency, and task difficulty are adjusted throughout the training process. Outcome measures often include changes in SCP amplitude, improved behavioral performance, and self-report metrics. In therapeutic contexts, SCP training is typically conducted 2 to 3 times per week over several months. The goal is not just short-term modulation, but lasting improvements in cortical self-regulation and symptom reduction. Research has demonstrated the efficacy of SCP training across various conditions. In ADHD, it improves executive function and reduces impulsivity. In epilepsy, it lowers seizure frequency. In PD, it enhances motor coordination. And in insomnia, it facilitates sleep onset. Emerging applications include use in depression, traumatic brain injury, and stroke rehabilitation, where SCP training aims to reestablish functional neural networks. Moreover, SCP-based brain-computer interfaces, BCIs, enable communication and environmental control for individuals with severe motor impairments. Technical factors play a critical role in training effectiveness. High-quality DC-coupled amplifiers are required to accurately detect slow potentials, and signal artifacts, such as those from eye movements or skin potentials, must be carefully minimized. Electrode impedance should be kept low, and proper filtering should be applied to isolate true SCP activity. Advances in amplifier technology and signal processing have improved the precision and accessibility of SCP training, making it feasible in both clinical and research settings. Ultimately, SCP training exemplifies the intersection of neurophysiology, learning theory, and therapeutic innovation. It empowers individuals to take an active role in regulating their brain function and provides clinicians with a customizable, evidence-based tool for promoting mental and neurological health. Ongoing research continues to refine protocols, improve training efficiency, and expand the range of conditions for which SCP modulation can provide benefit. Conclusion. In summary, the electroencephalogram, EEG, serves as a non-invasive window into the dynamic activity of the human brain, providing critical insight into both transient and enduring patterns of neuronal communication. Through measuring voltage differences across the scalp, EEG captures the orchestrated behavior of cortical pyramidal neurons as shaped by synaptic input, thalamocortical loops, glial modulation, and large-scale oscillatory networks. Each EEG component, whether a fast oscillation, an event-related potential, or a slow cortical potential, offers unique temporal and spatial information about cognitive, emotional, sensory, and motor processes. The utility of EEG extends across basic science and applied clinical settings. It supports the diagnosis and management of neurological and psychiatric disorders, guides individualized neurofeedback interventions, and enables brain-computer interface systems that restore function or communication. Particularly through SCP analysis, we gain a long-duration perspective on cortical excitability and neuroregulatory processes that complement the faster oscillatory dynamics often used in routine EEG interpretation. Key themes emerging from this lecture include the role of neural synchrony in shaping amplitude and frequency, the anatomical and physiological conditions necessary for dipole formation, and the influence of glial activity on slow potential generation. EEG signals do not arise from isolated neurons, but rather from complex interactions among distributed cell populations, mediated through electrical fields and modulated by chemical signals. Technological innovations in amplifier design, digital filtering, and source localization have increased the spatial and temporal precision of EEG, making it a more powerful tool for both research and therapy. These advances also support the expanding use of EEG in real-time applications, such as closed-loop stimulation, adaptive neurofeedback, and mobile neuroimaging platforms. Most importantly, EEG reinforces the concept of neuroplasticity, the brain's ability to adapt, reorganize, and change based on experience, learning, or intervention. The responsiveness of EEG to training reflects the capacity of neural systems to modify their output based on feedback, a principle foundational to both SCP neurofeedback and operant conditioning models of brain behavior change. As we continue to explore and refine EEG methods, its role in understanding and enhancing brain function will expand. Whether through clinical application, cognitive enhancement, or the development of assistive technologies, EEG offers a robust framework for observing and modulating the electrical language of the brain. Neuroplasticity, LTD, and LTP. Neuroplasticity refers to the brain's capacity to change structurally and functionally in response to experience, learning, injury, or therapeutic intervention. Two primary forms of synaptic plasticity: long-term potentiation, LTP, and long-term depression, LTD, serve as cellular mechanisms underlying these changes. LTP is the process by which repeated or strong stimulation of synapses strengthens the synaptic connection, enhancing future signal transmission. It involves increased postsynaptic receptor sensitivity, neurotransmitter release, dendritic growth, and synapse formation. In contrast, LTD represents the weakening of synaptic strength due to low-frequency stimulation or reduced synaptic activity, often involving the removal of AMPA receptors and the pruning of synaptic structures. LTP and LTD are not isolated phenomena, but constantly interplay to maintain neural network stability and functional adaptability. In the hippocampus, LTP supports the encoding of new memories, while LTD facilitates the removal of outdated or irrelevant information. In the motor cortex, LTP enables skill acquisition, and LTD supports refining motor output. Intracellular signaling cascades, gene expression, and changes in neuronal architecture, including the formation of new dendritic spines or the elimination of existing ones, mediate the modulation of these processes. Neurofeedback and other forms of brain training leverage neuroplasticity by reinforcing desired patterns of neural activity. SCP training, for instance, promotes sustained changes in cortical excitability and connectivity through repeated practice and feedback. Over time, these interventions strengthen the underlying synaptic connections associated with the target EEG pattern, thereby producing lasting improvements in attention, mood, or motor control. Animal studies have further elucidated the role of neuroplasticity in response to operant training. In rodents, contingent reinforcement of neural firing patterns leads to increased glial support and enhanced neurogenesis in the medial prefrontal cortex and hippocampus. These structural changes correlate with improved behavioral performance, supporting that even slow potentials like SEPs can guide durable brain remodeling. At the molecular level, neuroplasticity involves a variety of plasticity-related genes and proteins, including brain-derived neurotrophic factor, BDNF, CREB, and the activity-regulated cytoskeleton-associated protein, or ALCE. ARC is particularly important for homeostatic plasticity, helping to balance excitatory and inhibitory input to preserve network stability even as learning occurs. Ultimately, neuroplasticity underlies the success of any EEG-based intervention. Whether the goal is rehabilitation, symptom reduction, or cognitive enhancement, the ability of neural systems to reorganize is central to therapeutic success. Continued research into plasticity mechanisms will refine our ability to target and measure these changes, advancing both the science and practice of EEG-guided neurotherapy. Long-term depression and long-term potentiation. Long-term depression, LTD, and long-term potentiation, LTP, represent two sides of the neuroplastic coin, regulating the strength of synaptic connections in an experience-dependent manner. LTD occurs when low-frequency stimulation or asynchronous neuronal firing leads to a sustained reduction in synaptic efficacy. This is typically associated with modest postsynaptic depolarization and a calcium signaling cascade that results in AMPA receptor removal and downstream signaling for synaptic weakening. In contrast, LTP is initiated by high-frequency stimulation that induces robust depolarization and calcium influx, triggering pathways that increase receptor density and synaptic responsiveness. Both LTP and LTD contribute to the fine-tuning of neural circuits. LTP supports the encoding of relevant, frequently used associations, such as those involved in learned behaviors or memory consolidation, while LTD clears redundant or maladaptive connections, maintaining network efficiency. This balance ensures adaptability without runaway excitation or network rigidity. The temporal pattern of neuronal input, the degree of postsynaptic depolarization, and the activation of specific intracellular messengers all determine whether LTP or LTD is induced. In the context of EEG and neurofeedback, the functional analogs of LTP and LTD can be observed as changes in EEG amplitude, frequency, or coherence in response to training. Repeated reinforcement of specific brainwave states enhances the probability of those states reoccurring, reflecting a potentiation-like process. Similarly, reduction in undesired EEG patterns, such as excessive beta activity and anxiety, may involve LTD-like mechanisms as inhibitory circuits are strengthened. The induction of LTP and LTD is also influenced by neuromodulators such as dopamine, serotonin, and acetylcholine, which gate plasticity according to motivational and contextual factors. This gating mechanism is critical in applied settings, as client engagement, emotional valence, and attentional focus all influence neurofeedback outcomes. Strategies that combine cognitive behavioral training with EEG modulation aim to exploit this synergy by embedding learning within meaningful psychological contexts. Clinical applications of LTP and LTD principles extend beyond neurofeedback. Transcranial magnetic stimulation, TMS, and transcranial direct current stimulation, TDCS, are non-invasive brain stimulation techniques that can induce LTP or LTD-like changes in cortical excitability. These methods are used to treat conditions such as depression, chronic pain, and movement disorders, demonstrating the translational potential of synaptic plasticity research. By aligning neurofeedback protocols with the known rules of synaptic plasticity, such as timing, frequency, and state dependency, clinicians and researchers can optimize learning outcomes. The future of EEG-based interventions lies in tailoring these parameters to individual neurophysiological profiles, maximizing the efficacy and durability of therapeutic effects.